already teased too much in the Sunday school. I gave myself a false introduction in that Sunday school class and kind of caught the people off guard. But it really is our pleasure to be here this morning. We are from Hiles Anderson College in Crown Point, Indiana. Probably the thing that makes Hiles Anderson College the most familiar, the most famous over the years, is our founder, Dr. Jack Hiles. And I know that Brother Hiles had a fondness for churches just like this, just a local church, and I know that Brother Shearer was a close friend of Brother Hiles for many years, and then of our pastor, Pastor Scott. And so we want to thank this church for the friendship that you've had with our ministry and how you support us. Having a group like this coming in is your testimony that you support what we're doing. And I know that there's a lot of other Bible colleges that your young people go to. And Brother Commander, am I pronouncing that right, Commander? Commander.
Yep.
I'm going to get it right before tonight. Commander. I know he's a graduate of Golden State, is that right? Did I get that right? And don't have to amen that too hard, all right? It's our turn today to shine, all right? He got all year, man. Right? But he's graduate of Golden State, and each one of these Bible colleges has a niche. Golden State's fabulous Bible college, and just watching you work here, a great testimony to your church first and foremost. They've put so many years and to the great work there of that Bible college. But we too have the work that we're trying to do. We're in the business of training soldiers for Jesus Christ, and I think a church like this knows what soldiers are. And before I get too far, I want to thank the men and ladies of the congregation who either serve in the armed forces or are serving right now. I don't know if I've ever been to another church where there's so many military personnel in the service, and I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you do, and just driving through the country the last few days, just seeing how beautiful America is, you know, and sometimes you hear so much negative press of how America's this, America's that. You just got to drive the country a little bit. It's actually pretty good. I mean, you know, there's still families that love each other, and still a lot of churches, and you know, if you turn in on the news, you know, you think we're living in Russia, but we're not. All right, it's a great country, and a lot of that's due in part to folks like you. Before I go further into the service, I just want to take a moment to promote our table. If you want to go back there, all the music that you heard today, it will be back there. We've got a brand new CD that you can take a look at. Some great deals, and the girls will fill you in on the deals. The CDs, we sell them at a reasonable cost. It really helps us to offset the cost of the tour, and you can just imagine how much a tour like this costs in fuel and other things. Also, if you're interested in the college, there's material back there. There's catalog, applications, brochures about the college. We can take an application on you today if you're interested in applying to the school. Also, we have information cards. And then two quick things that are really, really things that a lot of folks don't know about the college. We have an advantage program for you that are in high school that want to get some credits before you actually go to a college. It's called the Advantage Program, and you could take some college credit while you're in high school online. So if it's something you want to look into, we can help you out there. And then also we have an online college. We understand a lot of folks are not going to pack up and start all over and enroll in college again. Some of you are like, I did Bible college once, ain't doing that again. Well, you can do it online, and you can do it down there from the local coffee shop at Starbucks and take a class or two online. You can get information. And finally, if you want to follow the tour group, they're on Facebook. If you want, and a couple of you teenage boys go, hey, yeah, no, man, we don't want stalkers, all right? You just stay off there, all right? Go, move on, follow the boys' groups or something, but don't mess with the girls. But if you want to follow us and see where we're at and where we're traveling and pray for us, we'd love to have your prayers. Some of you like that. So, yeah, this guy's kind of funny. I actually have ADD, so I don't know where I'm going, but I will know this. I know that you normally get out about 12:15. I promise you, man, we'll be landing that plane right around there, because the nice thing about having a big guy, let's just call it this fat guy preach, he gets hungry every 3 hours. And so I'm already hungry, and the assistant pastor has already promised us a great steak dinner this afternoon, and he's all the trimmings, and he's already promised us, so we are there going and so forth. Well, if you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 4. And also, I know Brother Shearer is not here, and I regret not being able to meet him. I would love to have met him and just tell him thank you for what he means to our ministry. I know you miss your pastor, and well, you should. But Mark chapter 4 is where we're going to eventually get to this morning. Is there a wireless? Did I get this one? Okay. Good, right here. All right. Well, I don't have much of a hunter story. I know we got some hunters here in the, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, but I try to think this morning, how can I connect with this audience? I'm out from the city. I grew up in Chicago. I never really hunted. I was hunted in Chicago. I mean, I don't know how many times I ran for my life in the city. And I'm thinking, well, we've got some people probably killed bears in here, killed elk, killed deer. About the closest thing I've come to that is I went squirrel hunting in Kentucky one time, all right? My last exploit into hunting took me to Arkansas, Razorback Country. And so one of the men in the church said, he said, we want to take you guys out hunting. I said, man, I don't really get into that. I said, I'm from the city. I want to. I said, but I'm not one of these wannabes. I know, you know, because there's a couple people that are wannabes. You know what I mean? You guys get them. They come visit. They ask for the Chad to take them out there. They're wannabes. I'm not one of those, all right? I admitted a long time ago, I'm not a hunter, don't want to be. All right. Anyway, so we're in Arkansas, and one of the men of the church says, hey, we've got some razorback, some little hogs that you guys can hunt. And I said, man, I don't know about that. He said, no. Man, these hogs, they're a nuisance, man. They eat all the corn in the fields, and the farmers want these hogs off the property. So what we do is we set up a little kennel, and we put corn in there, and these wild hogs go into that kennel. We got to kill them because they're killing all the farms. So I go, now they're a nuisance. He goes, yes, they're a nuisance. I said, is somebody going to eat that meat? He goes, yeah. He goes, you are. I said, well, I don't know about that. He said, well, they took us out there, and there were these hogs in this kennel. We had to shoot. And so I take my gun out there. I'm hoping this story resonates with somebody, but I'm getting these looks like, don't go there, sir. Anyway, so I took this shotgun, and I'm a little bit reluctant to do it, and I did it. I pulled back. I shot one of those hogs, and then something snapped in me. I became like a hog killer. Nobody else was shooting them hogs. I'm just blowing that shotgun off of me, and I killed three hogs. All right, and then I had to gut them. So that was an unpleasant experience for me. All right, that's enough of my hunting. I'll move on to something we all have in common: the book. All right, and so Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Karen, make a note. No more hunting stories in hunter churches, man. Just make a note of that. That's my wife, Karen, by the way. Beautiful, my beautiful wife, Karen. Some of you are like looking at her, looking at me. She's got 20/80 vision, man. So it's like, she's like, you got to see her without her contacts. I mean, anyway, no, it's the God is good. Amen. Serve Him; He takes care of you. He really does. But Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. If I say something funny, help me out and laugh, would you? Because this could turn into a long service, all right? Man, I know, like, somebody, I don't laugh. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You laugh sometime, and hopefully in church you can laugh a little bit. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, the Bible says this, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, I love this line, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him. And they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why art thou so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to draw your attention to verse 35. It says, In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. Father, dear Lord, I never take the preaching of your word lightly, Lord. There are folks that all week long, dear Lord, have been waiting for this hour, dear Lord. I just want to tell you thank you, Father, first of all, for allowing me to open your book and to share its words with your people, dear Lord. Thank you for Pastor Shearer and the many years, dear Lord, that he has diligently, Lord, labored in this field, dear Lord. Thank you for these dear people who have supported him and bought into what he has tried to do here, dear Lord. I know there's many great Christians in here. I pray that today's message would reset our thinking, dear Lord, and help us to leave here more like Christ, Lord. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. A great day had been wrapping up. A day of tremendous results. Multitudes were following Jesus. He had finished a day of tremendous teaching. He had spoke on the parables. A day of tremendous potential. What is now Jesus going to do with all of this fame? Multitudes hanging on every word that he said. He's at the peak of what we perceive to be his ministry. What would you do if fame came to you today? And let me just say this. That's one of the reasons why God doesn't give us, some of us, some fame and recognition. We misuse it. Some of you want to be well-known in a ministry, or you want to be well-known in certain areas, you want to be famous, and you work at it, and sometimes almost to a fault, God says, no, I won't give it to you, because I know if I did give it to you, you'd misuse it. And so Jesus, as he attracts the multitudes, as he attracts the crowds, he takes his shift and he says, I'm going somewhere. And I ask you this question, what would you do with this incredible reception? Well, Jesus lays this reception to the side, and he shows his real purpose. As he gets this crowd, he says, now that I have your attention, now that I have this big multitude, I want you to go with me somewhere. I want you to go with me to the other side. You know, a lot of us, if we had that chance, if we had multitudes following, we'd say, make my life easier. Could you imagine if you had 1,000 people at your beck and call to do whatever you wanted them to do? We'd say, make my life easier. Do things for me. Give me money, right? But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I've got this one moment to teach you. And I've got everybody focused on me. And I want to teach you what my life came to do. I came to save sinners. But I want to give you an example right here. I want all the multitudes to follow me as we go to the other side. In 1959, Dr. Jack Hiles, with all of his fame and accolades, he had become a very famous preacher in the Dallas, Texas area. Won't go into all the story, but Brother Hiles was invited to come candidate a church in the north just outside of Chicago. Brother Hiles, down in Dallas, Texas area, there in Garland, pretty much had a good life, had a great church, a thriving church. Built a church from 36 members to 4,000 in about 5 years. Just incredible. Was being asked to speak all over the place, and here he gets invited to a city just outside of Chicago. And can I tell you what? By his own admission, he said what drew him to Hammond was the city of Chicago. He said one time he drove from the north side of Chicago, Fullerton Avenue, all the way down to the far south suburbs of Chicago, and he said he looked at all those tiny little apartments. He said he looked at apartments that had no grass out front for the kids to play on. He said he saw all the children in poverty, and he prayed to God, and he said, God, would you please send somebody to that city? He didn't know that he would be the answer to his own prayer. What did Brother Hiles do in 1959? He kind of said, you can have the fame, I'm going to the other side. Amen. He understood that in Chicago there was some kids, some people that needed him. He understood that in Chicago there was some brokenhearted, some families that needed Christ, an area where the gospel hadn't been preached. In 1974, because of that act, Brother Hiles in 1972 started Hiles Anderson College. In 1974, there was a knock at my door. Some bus workers, students at Hiles Anderson College, invited myself and I was 5 at the time, my brother was 4 at the time, and they invited us to horseback riding Sunday. And I rode the church bus for the very first time for a horse. You can ask my wife today. I love horses. And I don't know what it was, but when they said horses, I'm going to that church. Can I tell you, I didn't live close to the church. I didn't live right across the street from the church. You had to work to get to my house. Be honest with you, I lived on the other side. And I'm so thankful for bus workers. I'm so glad for a church that said, there's some boys, if we could just get to them, we might be able to reach them. I'm so thankful for a church that said, if we could just push a little bit and work a little bit and go to the other side, there's some potential over there. You see, in 1981, our family had drifted from the Lord. Our family wasn't in church, faithful as we should have been. I was a rebellious 12-year-old boy. And my brother was an 11-year-old boy who was just as rebellious as we were. My mother was looking again and searching for the Lord and kind of reaching out, trying to find the Lord. We were cynical young boys, didn't want anything to do with church, thought she was just having some fanatical episode in her life. She said, boys, we need God in our home.
Amen.
She said, you boys get down on your knee. We're going to pray for God to show us what church to go to. We all got down there in the living room. I gave her that cynical look like, this is so stupid. Just like some of you teenagers who your mom and dad drug you to church. This is so stupid. That's how we were. This is so dumb. My mom said, oh God, you know that I'm trying to rear these boys the best I can.
If I'm by myself right now where I'm having marital problems and which I'm trying to do the best I can rearing these boys, and I can't do it. I need your help, and I need you to show us what church to go to. So my mom was praying on that front room of our house. There was a knock at the door. The goofiest guy you've ever seen in your life. And some of you kids are like, well, that's you. No, it wasn't me, all right? It was another goofy guy with the biggest glasses you ever saw in your life. You know the tape in the middle, the pocket protector with all the pens? Hi, my name is Gary Flinker. My mom knew exactly where he's from. My mom said, we'll be on the bus tomorrow. Thank God for a bus worker who went to the other side. Can I tell you something? We, in our Christian life, sometimes if it's not easy, we don't do it. If it's a little inconvenient, we won't do it. I want to just challenge you this morning. I know this is a great church. We've been to a lot of churches, and this is a great church. But I want to challenge you tonight because I believe that no church can have a true biblical mission without having a burden for the other side. You say, Brother Danny, what is the other side? Well, the other side is that place that has been devoured by sin. That other side is that place that is despised and where the despised and the rejected of the world live. The other side is where hope has not visited in years. The other side is where that cancer has touched. That other side is that place we call dysfunctional. The other side is that place where violence is the norm, where children are worthless, where addiction has set in, where there is profound heartbreak, where purity has long left the premises, where loneliness is the bitter companion of desolation, where the affected by the terror of divorce, where the cold clang of a jail cell is the final sound of the evening, where parents have abandoned the children, where teenagers cut and mar their body. It's the place of emptiness. It's the place of mental illness. It's a place of a great exterior and facade, but a dying soul. Everyone in here knows where the other side is. In some cases, the other side is not too far. In some cases, the other side, for some of you, is really just next door to your neighbor. In some cases, the other side is across town. In some cases, the other side is across the world. But nonetheless, all of us know where the other side is. In short, the other side is anywhere where the effects of sin have been felt. I want to say this today in the midst of your happy home, your squeaky clean life, your picture perfect life, your bright future. Christ is calling you today to the other side. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you, Christianity has done you well. You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't chew, and you don't run with those who do. And you look at your life and you say, I'm pretty good. And God is saying, I didn't call you, I didn't clean you up just so you can look at how good you are. We got a great church back home. You walk into our auditorium, and you walk into there. Our auditorium seats 7,000. It is plush. But God didn't save us and call us so we can flex our muscle in Northwest Indiana and say, look how great we are. And God didn't do what he's doing in this place right here. So you can say, wow, what great church we have. Wow, how beautiful auditorium we have. Oh, how beautiful carpet we have. Oh, how great piano we have. God didn't call you to show you how great you are. He called you so you go to the other side. And a church that stops going to the other side. If our church ever stops going to the other side, we've lost the heartbeat of God. I want to say this morning, first of all, number one, you'll not go to the other side without sacrifice. Look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says this, and he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. And look at verse 36 of chapter 4. In verse 36, the Bible says, and when they had sent away the multitude, going to the other side cost Jesus the crowd. And let me just say this morning. Going to the other side is going to cost you something. In some cases, it's going to cost you some money. In some cases, it's going to cost you some friends. In some cases, it's going to cost you reputation. In some cases, it's going to cost you looking like looking so suave and debonair. I remember a long time ago, I was trying to recruit a bus worker to work on my bus route. And I remember I was trying to recruit him hard to drive my bus. And he was big, tall, North Carolina boy, 6'4", 6'5". His wife was just a Southern belle. But I was working so hard to get him on the bus, and she came that first Sunday. And I remember when she came, she had this beautiful pink outfit. Beautiful white shoes. And some of you don't get it because you never rode a bus. I mean, but if you worked on a bus route, you'd get that one. But she rode that bus. She sat down. I said, oh no, I'm going to lose him. And that day, boy, every kid on that bus crawled all over her. Every kid with Kool-Aid, hey, Miss Christy. She she left that bus with Kool-Aid on her outfit, scuffed up shoes. And I thought to myself, I've lost them. And I looked at her, I said, Christy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that this happened. She looked at me, she goes, Brother Danny, with tears in her eyes, she said, I started the day looking at these kids, and I said, who's going to help these kids? And she said, if all I've got to give up is a dress to serve these kids, it ain't nothing. Let me just say this, it'll cost you something. It'll cost you something. Serving and going to the other side will cost you something. Going to the other side will cost you. That bus route will nickel and dime you to death. I remember when I was in college, I'd knock on the door and some folks would say, hey, I heard that every kid you bring to church, you get a dollar for. I told them, man, good night. I must have missed that office. And can you tell me where that office is? Because I got a big check coming to me. I said, no, they don't pay me a dollar. I got to pay to do this. And let me just say this. If you're ever going to go to the other side, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Of your own pocket, you'll have to invest. Those bus routes out there, you'll have to put in money for it. You'll have to buy promotion. But you'll never go to the other side without sacrifice. And that's exactly why some of us don't want to go to the other side. We don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to. Anybody with me this morning? This is Baptist Church, right? You with me this morning? I want to say this. You'll never go to the other side without sacrifice. Secondly, I want to say this, you'll never go to the other side without a purpose. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, we read that verse earlier. It said, let us pass over unto the other side. Not only will you not go to the other side without a sacrifice, you'll not go to the other side on accident. If you go to the other side, it will be on purpose. It will be because you intentionally say, there's somebody out there that I need to reach. There's a jail cell that I need to visit. You mentioned earlier today, there's a nursing home. And somebody's got to say, somebody's got to witness to those old folks. And somebody's got to witness to those people that can't help themselves. And if you do it, it'll not be on accident. It'll be on purpose. It'll be something that says, Brother Commodore, I slaughtered your name again. Brother Commodore, I need to be there. Get me in on that. My brother-in-law, bless his heart, he's a deacon in our church. Every Sunday afternoon, from 2:15 to 2:45, you'll find him at a nursing home. Can I say this? That does not happen by accident. You won't go to the other side won't run into you. You see, can you imagine those disciples? Where are we going? But Jesus says you'll never get to the other side by accident. Here's the famous line of so many Christians. One of these days, preacher. One of these days. You get saved when you're a little boy and you'll say, one of these days I'll be a bus worker. You're a teenager and you say, well, one of these days, when I get a little bit older and I get a little bit mature, I'm having fun right now, one of these days. And you become an adult, you get married, right? And you're romancing that girl. You say, I ain't got time now, but one of these days. How long have you been saying one of these days? The time is time, you say, it stops right now, and I got to go to the other side right now. Yeah. Let me just say this. To you young people in here, God blesses those who give their youth to the Lord. I promise you that. A lot of the blessings that I'm receiving today, I'm still a young man, but as a young man, is things that I did as a young person. You can't wait. But if you go to the other side, folks, it won't be by accident. You'll never get to the other side until you get rid of that fear of commitment. You'll never get to the other side until you stop making next week the week. Next week's always the week. I have too much to do, but next week, count me in. I'll get in that nursery next week. I'll get on that bus route next week. I'll join that Sunday school class next week. And I want to challenge you this morning that you only get to the other side on purpose. Amen. On purpose. Let me just say this, Bible college didn't happen by accident. That was on purpose. I saw the other side and I said, I didn't like it. But it's something that's got to be done. Everybody's waiting on the next guy to do the right thing. You do the right thing. You do the right thing. Everybody's hoping today. That's right, preacher. You go get them. I'm talking to you this morning. And some of you this morning are ripping it. Oh, you get them. Hey, that young person needs it. No, we all need it. Because we all get away from going to the other side. You see, you'll never go to the other side on accident. But thirdly, let me just say this, you'll not go to the other side without opposition. In Mark chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says this. In Mark chapter 4, verse 15, and I'm going quickly, he says, and these are they, in chapter 5, verse 15 of Mark chapter 5, it says this. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they got so happy. They invited Jesus to stay for a campaign, right? Wrong. Verse 16 and verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Let me just say this. When you get consumed for the other side, you're going to face opposition. Do you know why churches get out of the bus ministry? Opposition. Gas price is too high. Why do we get out of reaching the poor? Wow, we're more for prestige. People are going to criticize. Oh, you're into that easy believism stuff, aren't you? Oh, that's what you want to do. 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Opposition. I promise you, when a person gets serious about reaching the lost for Jesus Christ, opposition will come find you. There's some folks in this room, it's been years since the devil's launched an attack at you. And can I tell you why? Because the devil guns for soul winners. The devil comes after those who are trying to take those away from him. And I promise you, the moment, look, when I was in college, backslidden, doing my own thing, easy as pie. But whenever I got serious about working a bus route, reaching people for it, was amazing how I started to have breakdowns. It was amazing how I started to have financial problems. It was amazing how, because I promise you, opposition comes when you decide to go to the other side. And I'm warning you this morning, because there's some of you right on the edge saying, yeah, I'm doing it. I got to get back in that thing. I got to get back in that Sunday school class. I got to get back in that. I got to go visit that jail again. I got to get back in that nursing home. I got to get back. I'm warning you. You'll never go to the other side without opposition. Family will start saying, you ain't got time for us anymore. Y'all consume with that church stuff. Opposition. But fourthly, let me move on real quick. Fourthly, I want to say this. You'll not go to the other side without great surprise. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, Mark chapter 4 verse 2, the Bible tells us this about this maniac that was found. In chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. I'm sure they were shocked when they came and they found this man that way. What a great surprise. But can I tell you something? When you launch out to go to the other side, you'll realize there's a lot of people that don't live like you. Some of you this afternoon are going to drive out of this parking lot in an incredible car. Can I tell you something? When you go to the other side, you'll find out there's a lot of people that don't drive those cars. Some of you are going to go to a beautiful home this afternoon. There's nothing wrong with a beautiful home. But when you go to the other side, you'll be surprised that not everybody has that kind of home. This afternoon, some of you go to restaurants and order anything you want off that menu. But when you go to the other side, you'll realize there's some folks that never get a chance to go to those places. Some of you young people in here, listen to me. Some of you young people in here have a mom and dad that dote on you, love on you, protect you. You have your own bedroom. You have your own iPhone. You have your own. But when you go to the other side, you'll find out there's some kids that has a mom that beats on them. When you go to the other side, you'll find out that some wish they could just spend one day with their dad. I was at a church recently, and it broke my heart. I found out a little boy in the church was adopted by one of the pastors in the church. I said, why'd you have to adopt him? He said, his father's in jail. He's going to be in jail a long time. But I bet you that boy wished he could see his father today. Well, you'll go home and you'll give your dad a hard time. See, when you go to the other side, you'll find out that a lot of the world doesn't live like we do. You know, every now and then, if you'll go to a mission trip, you'll realize that 80% of the world, 80% of the world lives on less than $10 a day. And you're griping because we're in a recession. See, folks, we got to go to the other side every now and then. Because it's on that other side we realize that there's a whole lot of people that don't have it anywhere as near as good as we do. I tell my wife often about two little kids. And this is one thing I loved about Bible college when I went to Bible college. Brother Howells was crazy. He was psycho. Rest in peace, amen. But one of the things he had us college students do was go to the projects in Chicago. And I challenge you to go. They're not there anymore, but the Robert Taylor homes were the worst home. Incredible place. But I remember knocking on a door, three little kids coming to the door, BJ, Robin, and Satara. I remember those kids coming to the door and bringing them to church. We had a campaign of one day bringing everybody we could. And I remember dropping them back to their home, and the mom looks at me and says, "Brother Danny, thank you for taking my kids to church. Now you're going to come for them next week, right?" We didn't have bus routes in that area. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying, "What are you going to do? Just leave those kids there?" And I thought to myself, I said, "I can't do that." Every Sunday morning for 3 or 4 years, at 6 o'clock, that bus would pull up and I'd beat that horn. And those kids would come down from the 7th or 8th floor of that project down there. 6 o'clock in the morning, run through that door. One of the greatest things that taught me was, "Danny, there's a lot of kids that don't have it as good as you do." I tell you, if you go to the other side every now and then, you'd find out some great surprise. You'd find out that millions around this world live in poverty. You'd realize that in Asia, there's 3 victims of human trafficking for every 1,000 people. You're going to find some pretty broken people on the other side. You'll find some pretty hurting people. You'll find some extremely lonely people. It's really here where you get your burden. The Bible tells it this way, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion." You know why many of us don't have compassion anymore? We quit going to the other side a long time ago. We live in our little sheltered world, in our little sheltered community, and we quit going to the other side a long time ago. Some of you Christians, do you remember years ago when you used to visit those trailer parks? You used to go there and see how people live, and you couldn't help but leaving there with tears streaming down your cheeks. "Oh God, help me do something for that family." Some of you Christians, you remember when you visited that jail cell? And that prisoner looked in your eyes and said, "Thank you for taking the time. It's been a long time, hadn't it?" Because when you stop going to the other side, somehow another compassion seems to leave you. Every now and then I got to go back to the city of Chicago and just look at that city and look at the people and let my heart break for them. But that didn't happen on accident. You see, that's where your burden is lifted, where your burden is given to you. Far too many of us are waiting for the burden, not realizing it's on the other side. Today, you're sitting here waiting. "I'll go when I get a burden." But can I tell you something? The burden is waiting for you on the other side. I remember I was on my bus route, and I was about to knock on the door to let the kids know I was there to visit them. I was about to knock. But before I could knock, I heard the throwing of pans. I heard the cussing of a mother at that little girl, just cussing her. And I remember thinking to myself, "God, that girl's got to live like that all week long. I get to go back to my place. I get to go back to my life. But that little girl's got to put up with that for 7 more days till I come back here for 10 minutes and try to lift her load." That'll give you a burden. That'll give you a burden. But I want to say this in closing. You'll never go to the other side. Yes, with opposition. Yes, with a lot of problems. Yes, on purpose. But I promise you, you'll never go to the other side without great blessing. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 15, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind." I don't know about you, but that's a blessing right there. All over our church back home, there's a bunch of reclaimed savages. You look all over that auditorium, there's a bunch of kids that have been cleaned up. There's a bunch of addicts that have been cleaned up. Because I'll tell you one thing, when you go to the other side and you get you one of those and you bring them back, it's a blessing to see them. I know you don't believe this, but I'm 42 years old.
No.
Amen. And my wife laughs because all over our church are people who invested in my life as a little bus kid. And when they see me, they don't see a 42-year-old man. They see a little 6-year-old boy that rode a bus, and their heart is blessed. One of the ones that was a bus worker of mine was Brother John Jenkins, pastor's now in Gaylord, Michigan. He's a bus worker when I was a bus kid. And every time we come around him, it almost looks like he wants to walk up to me and just kind of pinch my cheeks. And I have to remind him, I'm 42, Brother John, don't do that. But for him, it's great blessing to see somebody who made it from the other side. And you want a blessing? Some of you, you're looking at a 401k hoping that gets back up to where, and if it ever does, you might get a blessing. But if you want a real blessing, you go to the other side. You find you somebody who needs you. I couldn't help but be touched by that picture that's out in your foyer of a gentleman, I think that recently or has passed away, but he's kneeling down there giving the gospel to a little boy just next to a bus. What a picture. What a picture. And I promise you that picture is more priceless than any gold that you did. And some of you are missing that because a long time ago you said, going to the other side just costs too much. It's not worth it. We want to become the uptown church. We want to become the uptown. We want to become the cool place, the chic place. But Jesus said, let's go to the other side. You know where the other side is in your life today. Some of you may have retired from something. It's time to say, you know what? I need to go to the other side. Some of you need to say, brother, I don't know where that nursing home is, but I'm going to give it a shot. But all of us need to say, Jesus, I need to go to the other side. My life gets too formal. I get too classy. And I got to remind myself, buddy, you better go back and find you one of those bus kids just like somebody found you. And I'm just begging you today as a church, and I don't have any authority other than the authority of the Word of God to tell you, you got to consider, where's the other side for you? Maybe it's a prison that needs to be visited. Maybe it's one of these reservations that needs somebody to go there once a month. Maybe it's an attic home that somebody needs to preach to. Twice a month I go to a rescue mission. I go to another rehab place to preach. Why? I'm just going to the other side. And so should you. Like every head bowed, every eye closed. In just a second, we're going to have an invitation. I've done my best to stay on schedule, and I believe we are. But this morning, I really would like for you to consider where you're at. I'd like for the girls to come and here in a second. As the girls sing a song of invitation, I'm going to ask in just a second as they begin to sing, I'm going to ask that we all stand. And this morning, in the invitation, I want you to consider, are you going to the other side? And maybe this morning you would say, I need to. Before we do that, I want to ask a quick question. Are you here this morning and don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Maybe you're a guest today. Maybe you don't know. But can I ask you this simple question? If you died today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? If you're not sure today, would you do me a favor? Would you raise your hand and let somebody talk to you? Anybody like that that would not know? I think we're all believers. The girls are going to sing. If they sing, I'll ask everyone to stand and the altar will be open. Girls, you sing. Everyone standing, please. The altar's open.
playing. If you girls just keep playing. I know that we have folks here at the altar, but I don't want to drag out an invitation, but I do want you to think through right there where you're at. Just ask the Lord. Say, Lord, would you show me where my other side is? It may just be literally, like I said, it may just be across the street. Maybe going to a family down the road that maybe the kids don't have a dad and they need somebody in their life to bring them to church. I know it gets inconvenient to bring folks to church sometimes, but there's a place in town that nobody wants to go. And maybe the Lord's calling you saying you need to go there. Maybe there's a city close by that nobody's going to that needs a witness. And the Lord's telling you, you're the one that needs to do it. Maybe there's a ministry at your job that needs to get started. And you say, well, if I start that, I'm going to lose some prestige there, some clout. But maybe the Lord's touching your heart. But wherever it is, would you ask the Lord to show you where the other side is for you today? Thank you, Amber. Thank you, girls. I'm going to pray, and then I'll turn it over to Brother Campanor. Lord, I thank you so much for today. Thank you for this service. Thank you for the ministry of this great church, dear Lord, who for years, Father, I know that I'm preaching to a great church. I know that, Lord. I know that I'm preaching to a church that loves souls. I know that I'm preaching to a church that loves your word and loves missions, dear Lord. But all of us can be reminded of this, because even in a great church, Lord, a few of us tend to slip away from going to the other side, dear Lord. I will for always be grateful, dear Lord, always be grateful for a pastor in a church that went to the other side and found two little boys on the south side of Chicago, dear Lord, who mentored them, worked with them, developed them, invested in them, dear Lord. And Lord, today as I get to preach and as I get to travel for you and represent the college, dear Lord, I'm so grateful, Lord, for folks who went to the other side. Thank you again for this service, Lord. I pray that you bless the remainder of the service today for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated real quickly. We're going to take an offering for Hiles Anderson College just to help out, ease the kind of the burden of just the tour and the traveling. I don't know about you, but when I filled up my gas tank the other day, it hurt. And I can only imagine. How long have you been on the road?
A little over a week. It's a week today.
Week today. And how much more do you have till July?
We've got about 8 more weeks.
8 more weeks. Well, it's odd for us. You guys are normally here in July, right before going back, but we get you this time. And I know the ladies all said they're from Indiana and places like that, and we're a lot of people here from Southern. You don't have a Southern person with you, do you?
I'm from South Chicago. My wife's from Texas.
Let's not hold that against them. But there you go. At least
wait a minute.
Half the church is from Texas. It seems like that. That's the other side. You have to go down to get to the south, and down in the Bible always talked about, you know, a departure. But let's pray, and we'll take an offering for Hiles Anderson. Dear Lord, thank you for the great music that we've heard. More importantly, thank you for the great preaching that we heard from your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seal that in our hearts. Help us to do our part to go out of our comfort zone and reach people that we would normally would not talk to. And thank you, Lord, for Hiles Anderson College and the work that they do in producing preachers and just godly Christians to go out and be laymen in churches. Pray that you'd help us to continue to support them. In your name, amen.